Well, I want to welcome you all back to the Tip of the Tower podcast, which we'll be now referring to as the TOT cast, going back to the old name. I miss the old name. On with me today is Richard Lee Sam, and we got Austin Owens, who is Skyping in because he wasn't feeling 100%, but then he decided to grind through it. So thank you, Austin, for
what a warrior. Playoff form already, Austin. Good job.
Oh, man. Got to grind through, boys. Pucks in deep.
Shut
Let's
up,
get her
Austin.
Done.
Pucks in. We're just going to leave it at that. All right, so today is just going to be a straight-up Leafs podcast day. We're going to get into some Raptors talk next week when we're going to get RJ, who's been dying to get on the podcast, but just it's kind of a little hard for him to get here from Innisfil, so we'll get
He's
RJ
on. He's been big-timing us.
He's been, yeah, big-timing us at his mall job. Poor RJ. But we got some Leafs talk for today. So they lose against the Ottawa Senators. People are like, holy crap. Like,
stupid game.
They got outworked. We're not going to get to that game first. We're going to get into recency bias. They beat the LA Kings. Give them their first regulation loss of the season. Considering how LA was, like, people were worried about, you know, the changes they made in the offseason. This team is not young anymore. They've turned it around.
Played well in the first period.
They played well in that game. Like, give Frederik Andersen credit. He kept the Leafs in there. But, no, the LA Kings, I think, are starting. They're not there yet. I mean, injury to Jeff Carr doesn't make it any easier when you don't have the depth down the middle.
What a freak injury, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, he's wearing the Kevlar socks and still gets cut. And like it must be hard to, like, actually miss time just because, like, you know, like somebody's trying to hit you and then slice up your leg.
Exactly. So he, you know, not having him, I think also, you can't come over an injury like that and expect. I mean, the Leafs have the depth and center that the LA doesn't have, and that I think played a part in how the game worked out.
And also, like, Jonathan Quick taking that dumb penalty. What a stupid penalty to take with, like, 2 minutes left and you're down by one.
Like, and I liked Leo Komarov's comments after the game that he sold it. Well, yeah, if you're goalie, you know,
I mean, Komarov's a little shit, but at the same time, you can't leave your crease to hit somebody as a goalie.
He didn't really leave the crease.
He just, like, stepped out of it just to, you know.
Like, okay, so we got a couple of Jonathan Quick comments for this game. We'll get to those in a second. I mean, the story of the game has to be the mini-me the mini-me connection. I don't know what we're going to call it.
Listen,
sounds fitting.
I'm just angry at their girlfriends, and I don't know them, but, like, to rob me personally of that in my life, to see Martin. Okay, for those of you that don't know, Martin and Marner were supposed to go have, like, a couple's costume, right? Like, you know.
Things that normal men do is have couple's costume.
Like,
teammates. Teammates do it. But normal men.
It's just some dudes being bros. That's it, right?
Yeah. So it's just dudes being dudes.
But they're not bros. One's his dad and one's a son. Like, come on.
Dudes being guys, I guess.
Okay.
So their girlfriends shut it down, and we didn't know what it was.
We didn't know why it was shut down by the girls in the first place.
Don't know why it was shut down.
So
I'm scared. If the girlfriend shut it down, you should be worried about what they were going to dress up
so as. So Kristen Shilton, actually, we know because Kristen Shilton from TSN tweeted it out.
Oh, no.
So Marner and Martin were going to go as Dr. Evil Mini-Me.
Oh, nice.
But
that's a genius.
Apparently, they thought the best way to get the girlfriends on board was to make them fembots.
Okay, that's
oh, no.
Yeah.
No bueno.
There's not many girls that are gonna be willing to do that just to let the guys have their way. I mean, the girls could have just dressed as their own. They could have done their own couples.
Just father and son out in the town, right?
We did get
on the fourth line.
We did get robbed.
Over the world.
Oh my gosh, that fourth line, the most dangerous fourth line in hockey right now.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, as long as Marner's there and Dominic Moore is, spinning around defensemen like
as long as
nothing.
Dominic Moore's head still attached to his body after that hit.
Speaking of the fourth line, farewell to Eric Fair. Right. As soon as I saw that, I was like, you know, I had to do it for him.
So he has been waived, but he's not gone. He's practiced with the team.
But
today.
I mean, you know,
they're
you
know, he'll send him down.
It's
you know,
don't say it.
You know, I mean, is it fair? Is it fair? Did he get a fair shake? I don't know, but farewell to Eric Fair.
Are you good? Are you good? I think he's good.
Why do you guys want me on this podcast?
But okay, so first the Leafs. they win a game against a team that I don't even think people had the Leafs as. Some had them as favorites. Some didn't. I think not having Jeff Carter made it a little easier route for the Leafs to be the favorites for that game. But you look at that game. Okay, Marner was the story because he just he was back to being Mitch Marner. Yeah.
I mean, the first goal, like he almost got quick off balance. He flew around the net.
Did you see who he went around to fly around the net?
That was Drew Doughty.
So Drew Doughty, who before the game, many of you know, made the comment that the Leafs are not considered a contender in his eyes because they don't defend well enough, then gets roped to dope by Marner.
So then he fits in, right? Like, he should be a Leaf.
He should be a Leaf, yeah. Just let a guy skate around you.
But, I mean, what I like about that is the fact that he knew what he was doing. It wasn't like just rap, try to jam it in. He wanted to throw it back out front. He did. He found Polak.
So
right?
He wanted Martin.
No, oh, yeah.
But Martin didn't receive the pass. And
well, because
Polak,
he's Matt Martin, you know.
Thank but God he didn't receive that pass.
Yeah, I think it worked out better that Roman Polak was able to unleash the cannon
he
shot.
He just walked right into it, and then Martin out front still doesn't know what he's doing.
I don't think Roman Polak gets enough credit for how good he is at getting pucks on the net.
Well, no.
I think he's very good at that.
But he also didn't know. That was a hard shot. It's just it took a weird play to the net. Martin gets the
when
goal.
You have Martin, when you have Matt Martin in your face, I mean, your options are very limited there.
So they get the goal. That was, I think that sparked the Leafs because they were not looking good
it was,
until that goal, I mean, pretty much.
They were outplayed, outshot, you know, the eye test and advanced stats will say that, you know, that was a game period.
And then, obviously, Bozak scores the goal, the power play goal, and then
that power play goal was funny because they all just ran to the net. They all just, like, charged it. And
if LA somehow found a way to chip that by, there probably would have been another shorthanded goal.
Yeah, of course, because I tweeted a GIF out. And then,
moving
you know,
pictures?
Like a suit. Yeah, like a moving picture. And then, I mean, the faceoff was won. It went back to the point, and then went once JVR got it, he did that, you know, typical JVR jam play, and then just everyone went to the net, and Bozak, I guess, he potted it.
Yeah, so, and then that weird, I mean, poor Morgan Rielly, that, you know, he missed the pass from Zaitsev. It bounced off his stick, and then it ended up in the net for a shorthanded goal.
That was a bouncing puck, though.
That was a bouncing puck. That's why you got to feel for Morgan Rielly, because there's not much you can do. But I do, one thing I credit, because you remember Jake Gardner allowed that shorthanded goal in the 5-on-3 against New Jersey. credit Rielly, though, he skated his ass back to try and stop the breakaway.
Yeah.
But it was, and I mean,
that was a good move, too.
It was a good move, too. So I knew they were going to score because it's just an LA Kings.
Well, because it's
win.
Toronto. I mean, like.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, Toronto always allows shorthanded goals like that. I'm like, they've only allowed two.
Every team in the league allows shorthanded goals.
Ask the Buffalo Sabres. The Buffalo Sabres are at a point where they will decline the penalty so they don't They don't go up a man up. Because I don't know if you watched that Vancouver. There was a game against Vancouver. I think they allowed two shorthanded goals. One of them was by Derek Dorsett. I think Buffalo needs to figure out their power play.
I picked Derek Dorsett.
I think Buffalo
up
needs to figure out a lot of things.
Goals left and right.
Say that again, Richard.
I think Buffalo needs to figure out a lot of things.
Yeah, they do. The Leafs apparently don't need to figure out as much, because
except in that game against Ottawa.
Let's go to that game against Ottawa, because I think the LA Kings game was a good response. You need, but a team like LA should bring out the best in a team like Toronto, and we saw that. And then a team like Ottawa, where you think, oh, the Leafs should have the advantage.
They should have run and gun all game, and they didn't. They just
played right into the trap.
Not even that. I think they did well against the trap, because in the third, I mean, like, there was a point where they would have every single player in the neutral zone, and then the Leafs scored two and got back in it.
Ah, but, okay, so they did it in the third, but the first two periods it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, the first two periods it was more of like they weren't trying to carry the puck in. It was, I don't even know what was going on. There was just so much, like, dysfunction. And they I remember there was a shift where it was, I think it was after the penalty kill. It was Marner, Matthews, and Nylander. And this was at the end of the third before the goal. And, like, that was the first time that they actually had sustained pressure. And you know, they just didn't really have anything going. I don't know if that was a trap because they were trapping in the third and the Leafs just turned it up on them.
That line in the last 10 minutes, those line combos were just silly. Like, wasn't it at one point it was Nylander, Matthews, Marner, Riley, and Gardner on the ice or something like that?
Well, I think Babcock's just like, we need goals.
Well, yeah, it makes sense, but like...
We can't lose this game at home.
You're taking a big chance when you have all five, pretty much.
Oh, I loved it. I'm not complaining.
But, I mean, look, you look at the Matthews goal. Like, okay, well, so... I mean, if you're Craig Anderson, you know what? I don't know. I'm pretty sure somebody has already done it on Wikipedia, but somebody must have put down owned by Austin Matthews, because there's one team, I think, one goalie that still hasn't figured out Matthews, and there's a lot of goalies that haven't figured out Austin Matthews. Craig Anderson is one of them, and Carey Price is the other one.
I was sitting around the office during that game when Matthews scored the goal, and there was a lot of Nieuwendyk on Lalim jokes being made there.
No, okay.
Well, it was a better shot.
I don't think anything ever will be as bad as Nieuwendyk on Lalim twice in the playoffs. But
yeah.
I mean, like, it was close. Like that wasn't really a good goal, but Matthews is...
that. But his release is so tough to track.
It's deceptive, right?
That's why that goal was great. One point about Matthews, though, going back to the LA game, there was that... I mean, everybody's probably seen it on Twitter, the gif of Matthews back-checking against Kopitar after he gets the puck taken from him. That is what makes Matthews the player he is.
I mean, yeah. This is such a cliche, but the 200-foot game, right? Like, he's a center that can play on both ends of the ice. His highlight reel goals and his takeaways and, like, you know, changing the angle of the shot, that takes away from his defensive value. And, like... I mean, he's still a young player, but he doesn't really look lost in his own end like that.
No.
And he's very, like, he's a responsible player that can also, like, create stuff for himself offensively.
Exactly. But we'll go back to the Ottawa game now. I remembered I wanted to point that out. That was just a game where, again, and I wrote about this. I mean, some people comment that you're commenting on a game that happened 24 hours later. I don't know if people expect analysis done 10 minutes after.
Hey, we'll talk about what we want, all right?
Exactly. But I just looked at all the goals that Ottawa scored, and they just took advantage of the Leafs setup.
That Broussard goal was just disgusting.
Which goal?
The second one. The one that
killed any chance of Leafs going back?
The one where Marner, I don't know why he did this, but he got the puck in the slot alone. Shot.
He didn't expect it.
Then fell on his ass.
Because he was off balance.
No, but not just that. Like, I mean, like, I think someone on Sportsnet talked about, like, his comfort, you know. I mean, if Marner gets that puck on Monday, he doesn't just go and shoot and fall on his ass. He accepts the puck, right? But then, I mean, like, it was still a good shot, but then the play goes around. It's like there's a 2-on-1.
I think, that was just, I don't know what the defense was looking. I mean, when you got one guy in the zone against two other guys, I mean, there was a change going on too when the puck was going on. But, yeah, it was just too many breakdowns in that game.
There were, oh, my God, just like watching that game, every defense.
And Richard watched.
I was in Ottawa. That game was so dumb because every Leafs defenseman had like the Luke Shenitis where it was like, I don't know what's – even if they had time, it was just, I'll throw it up the middle. Like, so many times, like, you can hear the audience groan because, you know, like, it's Hainsey or it's Zaitsev or it's, you know, everybody made those mistakes. Just throw it up the middle, just either deflected or picked off. Just what? Yeah,
I don't know why Zaitsev thought going up the middle was the better play versus going up the boards.
That was deflating, especially after the Matthews goal and the Leafs fans are going, like – this was my first game in Ottawa, but it was like something I'd never experienced before because it was a pro Leafs crowd. I mean, I know that it's regularly a pro Leafs crowd, but this looked split down the middle 50-50, if not more Leafs fans.
It looked like more Leafs fans on the broadcast.
And then when the first goal went in, who was it again? The puck that just like, I think it was tipped by JVR.
JVR Hainsey shot the puck.
So like we didn't see it on our side because I'm an idiot and I picked the wrong side, but like we saw the goal.
You picked
like
the cheaper side.
No, I just picked, you know, like whatever they had left.
Rich is probably like, why is this the cheaper side?
318.
This is a home game for Ottawa. Why is it a cheaper side?
So then, I mean, we saw the goal go on, and just everyone went nuts. Yeah. And then you see Matthews walk in. And when Matthew gets into the zone, people are on their feet.
Yeah.
That's what type of atmosphere it was. And then he just, like, the place went crazy. And then the timeout's called. Zaitsev, I don't know. I still don't know what he was thinking.
And it was Mark Stone. Like, out of all players, you're going to try to do that to?
Not just that. Like, just please clear the rebound. Just Anderson, somebody get that rebound out of there because
yeah,
you should
have. That was a hard shot to stop.
But that second chance was just right there for him.
Yeah, there was two defensemen that could have moved it.
But, I mean, like, that game, I mean, like, Anderson kept them in that game. Like, it's weird to allow five goals and still be like, it wasn't really the goalie's fault, but there were a lot of like breakdowns that the Leafs had defensively, and I mean,
that's
Ottawa
been a lot of games for
Anderson,
though.
Leafs. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, look, and Anderson allows one goal against LA that you were like, "Whoa,
oh, that was bad."
That was,
but
like,
I mean,
but then he has like incredible saves. You're just like, how did he keep it out?
I hate to always bring up James Reimer, but when James Reimer was on, it was like very scrambly. It was very like, I'll catch the puck, but then I'll fall right in front of me, but then I'll make like a 10-ball save.
That's the type of goalie style he played, though.
What Anderson does is that he'll get the rebounds or he'll deflect it away.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a lot of like second chance fat rebounds there. And like, that's what I love about Anderson when he's on, is that not only is he doing that, he's seeing the puck well, right? Like, you know, there was the goal, I don't remember who it was against, but there was a defenseman in front, and the puck went right through him. And it's like, when Anderson's off, it's like you expect stuff like that to go in. But, like, when he's on, he's seeing everything. It was just that one ugly goal that, you know. And then the breakaway, which you can't really fault him because it was a great move.
The Zingles goal against Ottawa. Like, like, that you can't, like, how do you stop that?
Yeah.
You're kind of hoping maybe your defenseman ties up the stick. You also don't expect Erik Karlsson to be left at the left point.
They left Erik Karlsson open a lot that game. And, you know, you see a guy like that play live, and it's like he can burn you in so many ways. Like,
yeah, you have to respect. It's almost like Ovechkin in that left circle. You have to respect it.
Ovechkin in that left circle is pretty much Karlsson anywhere past his own blue line.
Yeah.
Because once he has the puck and he's open, there's so much he can do. And just,
I'm pretty sure on the Brassard goal, I don't know if many people, it wasn't really brought up, but he set up that play by throwing the puck because he got the puck back when Marner didn't score.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Threw it up on a perfect pass to Brassard that put him up like in a position to carry it into the Leafs zone and score that. Like, if Erik Karlsson has time and space, he will make a play.
He's as dangerous as Connor McDavid with time and space. Because he's fast, he's creative, he sees the ice well, and then he has the passing. Unfortunate that it happens in Ottawa because he'll never win a cup there, but
if he decides to leave.
I mean, if he leaves, and I know some Ottawa fans might be listening. Hopefully
if they're
not
listening, I really question why.
You know, I mean,
to the Leafs podcast.
Like, they have, you know, like, he should win not just Norris every year, but he should win the Hart every year because he's the MVP, right?
He might not even have a leg by the time he's done with Ottawa.
Honestly, just the smoothest skating one-leg person you'll ever see in your life.
Okay, enough with the Erik Karlsson love fest because...
Sorry. I just have a thing for Swedish captains.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What a way,
don't
Richard.
We all.
What a way, Richard. Now, Richard, you want to explain to us the ordeal that was in Ottawa for yourself.
Just getting back. I mean, like, Ottawa.
Well, let's talk about going there first, because I saw your Snapchat when you arrive in the nation's capital and you're on Parliament Hill. Why don't you explain that?
Can we play that live? Can we play it live for these guys? It was just funny. Like, you know, like, I'm wearing a Leafs jersey, and, like, I'm getting, like, these weird stares, but not, like, in a dangerous. It's just, like, what's this, like, you know, F word doing here? I get to Parliament Hill because, you know, like, I've never been there. Like, I wanted to just experience it. And an RCMP officer is basically like, you can't be on the hill in that jersey. I was like, okay. So then I go to the hill in that jersey. And, and you know, like, I'm standing around. And then they had this Canada 150 sign. And this got people on Twitter angry. Because I walk around with my phone out going, like, these guys think they're in Toronto. This ain't Toronto. This ain't Nathan Phillips Square. And I mean, like, it's, you know, like, it's cool to experience because, like, people there understand that the Leafs are a big deal, and Hockey Night in Canada is a big deal, and Saturday nights are a big deal.
They right? get the spectacle.
Yeah. So then, but then actually getting to the, okay, so the arena isn't in Ottawa. I thought people were, you know, like exaggerating when they said, this was like a 20-minute drive. Like
it's 40 kilometers outside of
yeah,
Ottawa.
Like it's pretty much like going downtown, you know, going to see the CN Tower and then going, oh, wait, there's a game. Let's go to Mississauga for the game.
By the way, do you believe me that Kanata's actually a place now?
Yeah, I thought it was just a weird way to say Canada.
I thought I was
but,
kidding.
Eh? You know. No, but then, I mean, like, and like the actual arena is so nice. Like it reminds me of like a junior arena, and like not, you know, like in a bad way. Like it just feels like intimate, and like it has like that like
not
homely
corporate.
Feel. Yeah, not like a bunch of suits walking around, but like, you know, like it just felt homely. Mm-hmm. And then you go and sit down, and it was like even the 300s felt close, right? And then I mean, all
you're like
the,
right on top of the
yeah.
ice.
Yeah, and then, like, all the blue packed in, and it was fun up until, you know, like, Ottawa went up 3-0, so. But the drive itself, oh, my God, the drive was so bad.
Yeah.
You know, the first, like, 2.5-3 hours, you know, it's fun. Road trip, road trip, road trip, and then you realize that you still have, like, another 2 hours left. And then,
yep.
like, the way back, like, on the Trans-Canada Highway, mm-hmm. I was sure that I was going to die. It was pitch. So. We drove back right after the game. So we got back home at like 2:30. And like I was sure that like a deer was going to like cross front. It
that's literally a Canadian driving experience.
It was pitch black.
Those highways don't have any street lights or anything.
I don't know why my friend picked this the scenic way on the way home.
Did it take you extra time to get home then?
No, it was the exact same, but you know, like, it was like either we take the Trans-Canada Highway to like Oshawa. But then like there was a point where like I made him turn on to like the side highway just to get back onto the 401.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, there's no way that we get home if we stay on the street.
No, and
just, but I mean, like, the experience was fun. Like, I can't wait to go back on January 20th. Hopefully not take that same highway back and fall off the road.
I've been told the train is very nice, too. It's just too bad the train, I mean, you can't catch a train after a game. I've heard the train, like, I remember taking the train to Montreal. And those are usually fun. Those are scenic, and you don't expect to die.
Well, I mean, like, it's cool to, like, just, you know, go with your friends and, like, stop off. And like we stopped in Kingston. I'm pretty sure that, like, the only two brown guys in Kingston. But, I mean, I had fun. I went to go get beer.
You thought you got looks in Ottawa.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. But, like, the people in Ottawa are super nice, and it's very diverse. But then the actual place where they play is just stupid. Like, there were a bunch of car dealerships there, and it's like, why? Like there's no sports bars around? Just
did you go to the outlet mall?
All the outlet malls? All the so somebody said there's like 20 different like, you know, Canadian Tires and like home improvement stores in like a 1 kilometer range. It's like, I believe that because it's just like, it's just a weird location for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still working on trying to get, but do you think the arena is in a bad enough spot where it explains why people don't go to the
arena? I mean, you know, I come from Brampton, all right? I'm downtown at the Rock. Like, it's like, and especially if I know that I'm drinking, it's like a 2-hour commute.
Yeah.
But it's the team you love. So, I mean, I don't buy that crap.
So we're basically saying Ottawa's excuse is not the arena.
That's not an excuse.
Enough.
I mean, like, listen, like, if I went to
maybe
watch.
Maybe for weeknight games?
I mean, like, if you. Well, I mean, again, it's hockey, right? Like,
yeah.
If you have only 41 games a year plus playoffs, especially playoffs, like, I don't care if the playoffs are on a Tuesday afternoon. If I'm free, I'm going. Hell, even if I'm not free, I'm going, right?
I mean,
like,
it's 40 kilometers outside of Ottawa.
And
so
I mean,
maybe a 20-minute drive when you're taking the highway? Like, it's not even that bad. It's actually a shorter drive to go to Ottawa than it would be, say, if I wanted to go to the Leaf game from the suburbs because I live out in the outside the GTA. Yeah.
Like, I'm in North Brampton, and it's like I haven't ever missed the Jays playoff game when I had tickets because, oh, it's too far. I don't give a fuck. It's playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Like, how
yeah.
can you use that as an excuse? Oh, yeah, you know, the arena's in a bad location. Hell, I would drive to Hamilton to watch a Leafs playoff game.
Yeah.
Hell, I might even drive to Ottawa if the Leafs play the Senators in the playoffs.
That would most likely be mostly Leafs fans at those.
Honestly, because, I mean, so that's such a bad excuse. Just
well, we'll see what
the fact that there's not many of you, and just have fun with the five other fans.
we'll see when I go to Montreal how that experience is. I mean, Montreal's down, arena's downtown, but with the way Montreal's playing and the way that those stands going, there might be a lot of Leaf fans there. All right, want to bring up. Okay, so we've talked about Matt Martin and the mini me, bro, whatever the heck that relationship is with Mitch Marner. The next game is against the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, the Hurricanes, they're a team I don't – we know that they're trying to get younger. We know that they got a very talented blue line. But do we know what the Carolina Hurricanes are? Like, can we for sure know, like, what's their strength? What's their weakness? I mean, I guess their weakness would be up front. They don't really have the firepower that, let's say, the Leafs have. But
well, not many teams do, right?
No.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they are 3-3-1. They're second last in their division, but it's also a division that has the New Jersey Devils and the New York Islanders in the top three. Like,
this is a learning year for them.
Yeah, I think this is. This
I mean,
is,
it doesn't matter who. This is a learning year. Like, they can't score either.
It's a transitional year because they've been bottom feeders for a bit. They've been rebuilding this team, and now you want to. I guess they want to see them move a bit further. Scott Darling is now taking over as the number one. But this is a game where, again, you think, okay, the Leafs should have it, but will they?
Trap game?
This is every game against Carolina is a trap game for the Leafs.
Every game against a team that's not that top.
Buffalo, too. Every
four
game against
five
them
in the Metro
just
was a trap
seemed
game.
Like a trap game, didn't it?
In Buffalo. In Toronto, it's a little different. Buffalo,
I mean, I
but
feel
Buffalo's
like
a lot different.
It just feels different this year. I mean, I'm not saying that they'll win, but I'm saying that, I mean, I don't see the Canes outscoring the Leafs in a game.
No.
I mean, unless if, like, Anderson plays with his eyes closed or, you know. And I get that the defense has been bad, but they can't score. I know that the Habs scored, what, three on the Leafs, but.
Just to give you an idea, the Leafs have 40 goals as a team this season. Carolina has 18.
There you go. Right.
I mean, Carolina's only given up 21 goals, and the Leafs have given up 30. So we know they're a little bit better defensively, and we know they're a little bit better defensively, you know.
Their defensive core is what's going to make the difference in this game.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of depth.
But now, we know that Carolina is good. Like, defensively,
are
they
actually good, though?
Well, that's the thing. We don't. I still don't know. I'm really
it's
like.
Defense against scoring, honestly, in this game, because they've got Falk, they've got Pesci, they've got Slavin.
Like, this is a game where I think the game plan against the Leafs is see if they make a mistake and capitalize on it. Because you're not going to be able to dominate possession against the Leafs, really. I mean, L.A. kind of did, but L.A.'s always been a good possession team. That's usually the way they roll. But I think for these teams like Carolina, like New Jersey did, like Ottawa did, wait for the Leafs to make a crucial mistake and pounce on it. Be like a cheetah.
All right, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Are we okay with the run-and-gun style of the Leafs? Because we know it's not like, again, like it's not like 2013 where they're being outplayed, but we also know that this team is good, but the defense really isn't. Are we okay with that? Like, are we okay with...
I'm okay with the defense understands that the forwards are going to be running and gunning and they kind of have to take a step back.
Like Jake Gardner should understand that then, right?
He doesn't. He's never going to understand it. That's the problem. Like,
he only
it's
has
not a
one
gear. He only has, and it's forward. He doesn't go back. Like, I hardly see Jake Gardner skate backwards. It's just, just from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthews' line, they do a kind of a mix, a hybrid of run and gun, but once they get the puck in
but
that end,
more possession. Like,
they will hold that.
Yeah, like you can't get the puck from that.
You can't get the once
and
they have it.
I mean, if they do give it up, then it's like you have to deal with Zach Hyman to get the right.
Well, not only that, you're going to have to deal with Austin Matthews chasing you down like a deer in the headlights. Yeah. Like,
I mean, like that line I'm not really worried about, but like then you see maybe Marner does go back with JVR and Bozak, which aren't like they aren't really a good defensive line.
No,
like,
but the question now becomes, do you put him back there? As I kind of like the way Connor Brown is.
And that's what I love about Connor Brown. Like, you can put him anywhere. Like, he'll do like Connor Brown's life slogan is probably something like, I'm just happy to be here, because he just seems so like jovial to be anywhere. Like, and he'll like he is the Swiss Army knife. Like, power play, penalty kill, anything. Fourth line. And, like, that's why if somebody gets hurt, which, you know, you can't expect, yeah, you have Josh Levo, yeah, you have Kasperi Kapanen, but then it's like you can shift Connor Brown anywhere. Like, he was playing mm-hmm. with Matthews to start the year last year, right?
Yep.
So that's – he's so versatile. And he scored 20 goals last year. So, like, it's not like he's, like, some guy that has to be carried.
I think that what helped Connor Brown's development, and I guess Leafs fans can kind of thank him for this, was playing with Connor McDavid in juniors. Because when he was in Erie – he wasn't the dominant, like, the player he was until Connor McDavid came.
Well, I mean, like, he was a sixth-round pick anyways, right?
So. He was, but then, you know, you put him with a guy. Like, when you play with a guy of Connor McDavid's level, you learn the habits he has. I think, especially at a young age, I think they kind of worked on that together.
That would be an interesting story. Like, I wonder, you know, if they still talk, if they still, like, you know.
Well, guys like that, usually junior teams still talk. I mean, Connor is not exactly the most sociable guy, I think, just the sense I get from him. But I guarantee they probably still talk. I know, like, a guy like Connor, they used to play for the Marlboros. They have that clan of players. Like, I know a guy that I went to high school with was on the Marlboros. He's also in the NHL. Adam Pellick, he plays for the Islanders. Like, those guys talk. They may not talk, like, social media-wise, like how we see some players do, but they still talk. Like, that's a group of guys that grew up together. And Pellick was also on that Erie Otters team. Like, that team stayed together. It's just, I think OHL teams kind of realize you got guys that played together. They learn how to play as a unit together. You try to get them together. It just kind of worked out that way. But yeah, I think Connor Brown learned from Connor McDavid on how to play at the level he is and just realized, look, you got the skill guy. I will be the, as Babcock kind of says, he's like the grinder guy. He's the he's the work guy that will get – he'll do the work to get the skill guys the puck.
Yeah.
So I'm more online that maybe Marner's role would be – Marner would be better suited to play on the Kadri line because Kadri and Marlowe are good enough defensively that, A, Marner will eventually learn, I think, to play better defensively. I don't even think he's playing – really bad defensively. I just think
it's just turnovers.
It's the turnovers, and it's sometimes he's not moving his feet to stick with the guy that he's supposed to
be. It's him
to
just play. Overthinking.
Yeah. So I think playing with a guy like Marlowe, like, okay, Matt Martin, it's a good thing to get him back on track. But if you really
I mean, like, this isn't his, like, this, no. Like, he's not going to stay more than 20 games there, right?
Exactly. If you really want Marner to learn and involve his game, you have to put him with a guy like Marlowe and Kadri. Those guys will help him evolve his game. Playing him with JVR and Bozak, I don't think his game is going to evolve playing there.
Yeah.
His offensive game, I don't know. Bozak and JVR are good offensive players, but they're not at the talent where he's going to evolve his game to, like, what Matthews and Nylander are doing.
Yeah.
I'd rather see him with Kadri on a line because there's a good chance maybe one of, if not both, Bozak and JVR will be gone by next season.
Yeah,
I don't know. You want to get? I know chemistry is not really a thing because these guys spending what eight, nine months together of the year. So you're gonna get chemistry just by being around that guy for an entire year. But you want him playing with Kadri and Marlowe? I'd say that'd be a great line.
Yeah, it would be.
Just to get that.
I think that line. I think I think people are talking whether the Leafs can fit JVR under cap. You have so many guys that are waiting in the wings to get a
Kasperi,
spot.
Kasperi, Levo, I mean.
Carl Grundstrom.
Like, you have depth, right?
Andreas
Jeremy Bracco.
I think Bracco, I mean, he's going to be with the Marlies for a while, I think. Just based
Bracco's,
on.
Bracco's, well, we talked to him over
wasn't
the preseason.
Bracco a healthy scratch? Yeah,
he was. Yeah, but so. I think it's because you got guys like Mason Marchment that
he's looked very good with the Marlies.
Very good with the Marlies. I mean,
I just wish they could
move one guy down the list. Because I think the Leafs, yes, Miro Altonen can be a good center. Is he a third-line center that can replace Bozak?
No.
I don't think
not
so.
Yet.
He's had a really rough start with the Marlies as well. He still hasn't scored. I don't think he has a point yet.
I don't even think Adam Brooks will be ready for that point. Like, Frederick Gauthier is going to be the fourth-line center next year.
I mean, that's his ceiling.
That would be awesome. I'd love that.
Yeah. But
Freddie's looked good.
I think this is where the whole Bozak conversation is like, is there a guy that at the end of the year will be ready to take that spot?
Of question. Nylander, would you split up him and Matthews?
I have a
like,
hard
as
time
of right now,
that.
I don't want to see them with anybody else. Like, I just want to see Matthews and Nylander just do this thing for the next 20 years, right?
It's like
Backstrom, but I mean, that's not to that.
Like,
I'm not going to say
like
that.
It's an option that will, you know, definitely be talked about, but like, would you split them up?
Because, I wouldn't. Yeah, because I mean, if you want to win a cup, you need to have those two together. Yeah. Now, look, if you put, let's say, Nylander, and then you got a line of Kapanen and Marner, that'd be a skating clinic. Yeah. I would be okay with, because you got Nylander playing with offensive capable guys, and then on that other wing, anybody can play with Matthews, I think.
Well, we saw Hyman, Brown, and Matthews.
Yeah, and that line was still good. Matthews is not going to reach. I think his offensive prowess will be there mostly with Nylander there. I think this is just tough because we've seen the one thing is we're seeing Nylander take draws and we're seeing him win draws. So we know he can probably take faceoffs and be comfortable doing it, and he can handle it. The question is he going to be able to handle the defensive responsibilities that come with being a center full time? Because he's not doing that. Like, he's obviously a good player at going back and retrieving the puck. But is he going to be able to do the other things, like, you know, looking at your defensive matchups, who are you lining up against, and that's the guy you got to be covering? That's the question I think that will eventually have to be answered, and it's going to be answered whether they keep Bozak or not. That I think the decision on what happens with Nylander coincides with what they do with Bozak. If Bozak is gone, then I think the conversation becomes Nylander is going to take that spot. Because, again, I look at a guy like Adam Brooks. He maybe when Adam Brooks is eventually ready to come up and he's centering that line, then they move Nylander back with Matthews.
So how much do you think that a Bozak gets? Because, like, he won't get anything close to what he got.
He's getting, what, 4.25 right now?
4.2.
Okay. I don't think if you're looking at free, like, so many teams need centers, but I think he's a under $4 million a year center now. Because he's not playing in a top. Now, obviously, people are saying like the Leafs don't have a top six, bottom six. But if you're looking at the ice time with the centers, he's third. He is a third-line center by definition. How much do third-line centers go for now? They don't go for that much because teams have to pay their top two centers the most. Case in point, you got – I mean, Kadri's getting a pretty decent deal for a second-line center.
I mean, that's all on – well –
that was just Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, that ain't
making
that
a
and the
bet
Riley
on
were great contracts.
So those are the contracts you have to win with, and then there are contracts you just can't muster up the decision to take. You can't. Obviously, Bozak has been here. He's the longest tenure Leaf on the team right now. But if you got to move forward and pay guys like Matthews, Nylander, Marner, eventually you'll have.
And I mean, I don't want to sound disrespectful, but is Tyler Bozak that important to team success?
I don't think. Look, he had that one big goal in the playoffs, but
he's a good player. I feel like
he's replaceable though.
Yeah, Leafs fans really disrespected him a lot. They acted like he was a nothing, but he's been good for Toronto. But going forward, this is the Matthews Nylander show. Like, they have enough pieces in place that it's like. You could just plug guys in now.
I've also heard, they should put Marner as center. And I'm like,
no.
Considering all, I've heard, I can't remember who said it. And then I'm like, considering how Babcock is trying to get him to play better defensively, I think the last thing, also his size just doesn't make him that center.
I'm on the fence about Nylander being a center. You want to talk about Marner being a center? Oh, boy. I wanted to touch real quick on the point that Richard made, is this team, Leafs fans are going to have to get over the fact that a lot of this core that they've known for such a long time is going to be gone. I think Leo Komarov's gone.
Yeah.
After the season, for sure.
He's slowing,
his production has dropped off significantly.
But it's
but he's
more
slowing
of like,
down a little bit, I think.
Yep.
Like,
his
if he skating
wants, is not where it used to be.
Carl Grundstrom needs to make this team next year. I think he does make this team.
If he wants to be paid like a UFA, then it's like there's no conversation there.
Another team will pay him, though, I think. I mean, not pay him a lot, but another team will make it a tough decision for him
to
stay.
The way the LA Kings are playing right now, and I know this was a conversation back when the Leafs were trying to sell off before they got Matthews, is would a team that's in the playoffs not love to have Leo Komarov on a bottom six where he just chips away at your guys?
Yeah,
and plays with a couple skill players.
I like.
You guys were talking about Marner. Sorry. I swear I just heard something.
I don't know.
Who's that?
What about Mark?
What does that sound? Anyways.
We're hearing things outside of the studio. Wow.
Are any of you hearing that?
Oh, I'm hearing. We might have to lock the door, Richard.
I think we are going to die right now. So if anyone's listening, I told him to go live. He doesn't want to fucking go live. Send help. Okay. So yeah. As I was saying before, I was really interrupted by something screaming out there. We were talking about both Marner and Brown being outside of the fourth line, you know, top nine. Could you imagine the playoffs with Martin and Komarov both on the same line? Like, that won't really be productive, but, like, just their ability to, like, get in people's faces will be hilarious.
The thing is, like, people say, oh, you're going to move Komarov up down to the fourth line. You don't need your offense. You don't need the fourth line to drive offense. You need them to drive Komarov will be a guy that you can chip in the puck. He will hit a guy. The puck will become loose, and then that's how you gain possession. That's what a fourth liner like him can do. I think he's a third line guy. Like, he's like what Connor Brown is doing right now, but I think Connor Brown is a better offensive player.
Much better offensive.
Much better. Like, Connor Brown actually has offensive, like, he desires to actually chip in on offense. I don't think Komarov makes plays, but he's not.
Komarov is just a shit disturber.
Yeah.
A really good shit disturber.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've always thought when they brought down Marner and then people are like, how are you going to bring him up? You take a guy who may not be producing to what Komarov is, and you switch him. Like, I know people are saying Komarov is really good defensively. Then maybe he can do that on the fourth line still. And I think Marner's just going to have to learn, I think, to play better defensively. And you put him in a position where he will have to play better defensively, but also have guys that are able to support him defensively. Because Bozak and JVR are not going to support him defensively. That is not their role.
Bozak and JVR aren't going to support anything defensively.
they're going to hear the word defense and go...
Cycle? Is that, yes.
Defense. You mean switch the D with the O? I that's just why I think when I hear about where Marner goes from here, that's what I think should happen. But Babcock, again, he has this thing about veterans.
Doesn't matter what that's we true. Think.
It doesn't matter what we think. He likes Uncle Leo. He likes Komarov. And
Connor Carrick's probably going to be exiled to somewhere we don't know about at some point this season.
So he's going to be killed at some point. Just enjoy
more of that. Lou's going to do something to him that's ungodly.
Well, okay, now this brings up to the final thing I want to talk about, because I didn't know about this until just before we came on to record. But Mike Babcock decided to make a particular comment at practice about players who make...
Okay, like, he's firing shots. Not
yeah, he's
commenting.
Definitely firing shots. Firing shots at guys who have spoken out in the past about getting in the lineup and maybe deserving to be in the lineup but not getting in the lineup. And he's like, well, where are these guys now? And I think you know who we're talking about, Frankie Corrado. Brooks, like, somehow managed to get back into the NHL. Good for him, because he was kind of one of those guys that got ousted.
Did you guys listen to Justin Bourne? He was on on 590 a couple days ago.
No. I didn't.
I think it was 2 days ago. He, because he used to be the video coach with the Marlies. He said that Brooks Like had a bit of a rocky tenure, obviously, with the Marlies. But apparently on one of the instances, Brooks Like said, I don't know if it was to Sheldon Keefe or somebody in the Marlies organization, I'm not a hockey guy. I'm an NHL guy. And that's a pretty interesting thing to say.
He didn't
want to
speak about
AHL.
His time here when he came back on Monday. Like, he just wanted to talk about the Kings. So I mean, I don't blame him though. Like, I mean,
no.
He got paid a lot of money to.
I don't blame either.
Hang
side.
Out at yeah. Where no, I think he was. I mean, he was in LA.
Still
with
a very rich man.
Yeah, and he's able. He got himself back into the game. I think it just shows that some guys just don't totally fall off the rails. Just maybe he wasn't. As you said, he wasn't happy with the situation.
Well,
but
I mean, he wasn't in the plans here anyway. So
he was not.
It's just you collect your money, just wait.
He was an add-on for Connor Carrick, who's Connor also Carrick and not the apparently in the pick. Plans going forward.
Okay, let's touch on that.
Roman Pulock or Connor Carrick?
I think it kind of coincide. How long before people just totally lose their minds about Roman Polak?
Yesterday. Yeah. It happened as soon as they signed him.
Like, okay, now, I can understand the concerns about a guy who's not the best skater but broke his leg. Yeah, there's concern there. But the Leafs are not going to sign a guy that just physically can't play. They already shoot away one guy that can't physically play. Like, they've already silenced one guy like
that. Air quotes, can't physically play.
Yeah, well, air quotes, but...
Well, the one thing Mike Babcock said, and I don't know if you guys heard it as well, he was talking about this being a move to limit his top guys' minutes so that they aren't taking on the hard minutes.
And I like
that. Would have to.
But I really like that comment because Zaitsev and Hainsey were playing a lot on the
penalty kill. It was just
them,
right?
And that quote was focused on Zaitsev, saying if he plays those minutes and he's taking a lot of hits, he's going to get injured and break down at some point, which happened
last year.
Yeah. And if Polak, I think it's just for penalty killing.
That's just something that Leafs
thankfully
didn't look at.
Thankfully, Leafs fans don't freak out about anything. We're very calm and collected at all times, very even keeled.
Especially when you have a spreadsheet in front of you.
Better him than Martin Marincin. That's how I look at things.
I can understand. Yes, a younger guy is losing his spot in the lineup to a veteran. But you also, I saw Polak take some block shots that Babcock would not put Connor Carrick in that situation because Connor Carrick is not a guy. Yeah, will Connor Carrick block a shot? Of course he will. Any player will block a shot when you're facing a shot coming at you. But Polak will sacrifice his body to do it. That's just the type of defenseman he is. Carrick is not that type of defenseman. I think the main reason why Polak was signed is because you already got a young guy in Andreas Borgman.
God, he looks good.
He looks good, and he needs a veteran guy with him.
Yeah.
That is just a silly pairing to play against if you don't want to get hit.
It is, and he only...
You're trying to avoid Polak. Borgman is going to run you over if you try and go onto his side of the ice.
And people were worried that the new slashing rules would mean that Polak would get more penalties.
I was actually worried
about
that because, I mean...
But he only took one, and it wasn't even that bad of a slash, but because he tapped the guy with the stick and hit him against the boards.
Most of the slashing calls this year aren't really that bad of a slash, so hopefully he adjusts, because knowing how Roman Polak plays, he'll be in the box 2-3 times a night if he doesn't adjust.
He'll adjust. I think he'll adjust. He's a veteran guy. He understands. He does take penalties. I mean, there's players that take penalties. Like, it happens. But I just, as you said, I think it just really helps a guy like Hainsey, who is older. Like, expecting him to play the amount he was playing on the penalty kill is a bit outrageous for a guy his age. A guy like Zaitsev playing as much as he did while also having to play top 4 minutes and being the defense. Like, he's really the defensive catalyst for that. When Matthews is out, his line is out. The reason why they're so confident offensively is because Zaitsev is the big defensive rock on that line. Like, that's Gardner's line is the one that goes out with Matthews all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think, look, if Polak is not playing to snuff, he won't be playing. Like, Babcock is not going to keep a guy that's just going to hurt his team.
Why don't you run a system where it's Roman Polak who plays like the Kings, teams that like to have a really hard cycle and play a little slower, and then have Carrick in against teams that are playing quicker.
Yeah,
I think that's the perfect system.
Is if Babcock is willing to do that, and like,
I mean, watching Polak play against teams that can run and gun,
that won't work.
Right?
I think it just really speaks that the Leafs are eventually going to need to make a trade for a guy that you are comfortable in, no matter if it's a running gun team or a cycle team. So I think that's where I think the Leafs will eventually get to that point where they're like, we need a guy that can plug in and we don't need to worry about where we're playing him.
Yeah.
A guy that I think we talked about this a bit last week was Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
Playing for the Vancouver Canucks. He's usually their defensive. He's their most reliable defenseman defensively. He's played with Riley before, which is why I brought him up last week. He's making a really good contract that he can eventually make a guy that you know, needs a new contract, you can say, yeah, we don't have the – we have a guy like Tanev locked up. We can move another guy out and then bring up a younger guy like Dermott, Rosen. Like, I think now with the depth they've created, I think what you just need to do is you need to solidify your top four defense. So you have Riley, Zaitsev. If Gardner's a part of that, I'm still on the fence of whether he is, because I think what he's going to ask – it's not even like, yeah, do you want to try to sign Gardner? You probably would if you're the Leafs, but if you look at the cap structure, you look at the guys that are ready to come up, like, would you rather have Gardner or would you rather have Liljegren?
Well, I mean, Gardner's up at the end of next year, right? So hopefully Timmy will be ready, right?
I think Timothy will play this year, next year with the Marlies for sure. Like, I think that's and would you?
I think he plays a shorter role with the Marlies this year, and then plays their first pair next year. Travis Dermott looks fantastic.
Yeah, and then
he's running it in the AHL right now.
And then I look at, then you look lower. I mean, and Austin, you wrote about this in your prospect roundup. Emily Rassinen and shoot, what's
he's
his
filled first? The net this year.
And Gordiev, what's his first name?
Vader.
Like, those two are big bruising defensemen that are. Figure out of their offensive game.
Somebody that I wrote about it in the prospect rundown as well that I really want to take a look at is JD Greenway. He's missed his entire start of the year.
They really like him, the Leafs, too. They really like their American guys.
He's a big guy. I think he's 6'3", 6'4"-ish. He's fast, and he's got some offensive pop.
Did just collapse. Well, I mean, yeah.
But he hasn't, sorry to cut you off, he hasn't played the start of the year because of a family issue. They haven't disclosed what the issue is, but I think he just came back this week and he's played his first game or two.
Yeah.
And he's somebody to keep an eye on. He's not going to come out. He and Dakota Joshua are two guys I'm really looking forward to watching in the NCAA
Dakota
this year.
Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very American hockey name.
I think he's a center for Ohio State, correct?
Yeah. He had another point this weekend, secondary assist or a primary in Ohio State's last game this week.
Pretty much, if you're a centerman and you're prospects of the Leafs, you've piqued my interest. And you're like, we need you to get to the Leafs.
There's one account I follow that posts updates every...
Hey, the up train is very great for that. I can pick you up in like 12 minutes. Before we go, I just want to finish up this conversation about the defense. We just said, Bozak and Gardner and JVR are a little different, but it kind of talks we can't fall in love with certain players because we do have other players that could come up and pretty much replace them. I'm not going to start this whole, are the Leafs going to get rid of Gardner? Because they're not.
No.
We're not seeing that yet.
There were some people suggesting that Pollock was going to replace Gardner in the lineup. And I've told you this.
Austin, who do you follow on Twitter?
It's not happening.
Exactly. I'm like, who does the – Austin must have – like, Austin,
breaking
you might
news,
have to.
Roman Pollock
no,
will
I just
replace
went to,
Tyler
I like
Bozak.
Going on post and just reading just the casual Leaf fan what they think of
– Well, that's –
And it was when – it was the Leafs PR post when they announced they signed Pollock.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah, because those
he's
going
to go on and – replace Gardner. It's like, no, he's not.
Those are the fans, Austin, that are 24/7 refreshing the Leafs PR account, waiting for a tweet to happen and getting ready to comment.
I'm doing that right now, actually.
So,
Jack from Burlington.
Yeah, the reason why I bring that up is because until they sign Gardner, which they can do at the end of this year, I'm saying a guy like him is his future is we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to, like, cry for the Leafs to try to re-sign him. Because I look at cheaper guys that are going to be able to come up and probably be able to contribute. Will they be able to contribute offensively like Gardner? Oh, actually, quick question. Any of you two that have a computer in front of you want to bring up Gardner's stats for me?
Yep, I can do it. Give me a sec.
Thank you. I made you guys both the producers for the show. I just haven't told you yet.
Yeah, no worries. He has points for this year, right?
Yeah.
He's got a goal and 4 assists in 9 games, and he has 8 penalty minutes, even plus minus.
Even plus minus. Okay. Austin, how many points does Ron Hainsey have this season?
Ron Hainsey has 6 assists, and that's not counting the Los Angeles game in. Let me check Hainsey. He has 6 assists on the season. And load, please, Paige. He has
if you're using
6 assists in 9 games, 2 penalty minutes, and he's a +5.
Okay. I'm not going to overreact to that because I mean, stats, that's not how you determine whether a defenseman is good or not. But I'm just saying, defenseman, unless you're Erik Karlsson, it doesn't matter how many points you really put up.
I mean, like, I've stopped looking at points to, like, evaluate a defenseman. Like, it's just cool to see, like...
I'm just covering our butts if somebody says, well, hey, we don't really need a guy like Gardner because you got guys like Hainsey putting up points.
Well, if you want to yell at us because of that, thank you for listening. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say.
Pretty much. But it just goes to show that...
Just thank them for consuming the product.
A guy like Gardner should not be judged on how many points he puts up.
Yeah. Now it's like, it's all about possession. Like,
it's all about, first off, driving possession, how many chances you create, how many chances are created when you're on the ice. Just quality, of chances, too. Not just chances, because you throw a puck at the net, that's chance. It's the quality of them. And you're hearing that a lot more now, and especially on the radio. I've noticed that guys on the radio, like a guy like Mike Johnson for TSN, is not just saying, oh, how many chances, how many quality scoring chances are being given up? How many quality scoring chances are being created? So you are seeing that being evaluated more than just a guy, how many points he has, which I think is fair. So I think that's a good part to leave the to end the podcast on. I would like to thank you all for listening. If you stayed this long, I do applaud you. Just remember, the show is now on Block Talk Radio, so go and check us out, Tip of the Tower, on Block Talk Radio. We are still on iTunes, Tip of the Tower. And you can follow any of our posts on Facebook. Tip of the Tower is if you can't get Tip of the Tower by now, it's...
We
say it enough times. But then,
wait, so what is this... Honestly, I thought we were just talking.
Richard just thinking.
We've been recording this whole time.
Apparently. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Tip of the Tower. Make sure you follow our great insiders here. I'm calling you an insider, Richard. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't know anything about anything. Don't follow me.
Arlie Sam on Twitter. And then you also have Austin Owens_ on Twitter. And you can follow myself, David Morisuti, D_Morisuti. We will be recording next week. We'll get into some Leafs talk, but we also get into some Raptors talk. As I said in the beginning of the show, RJ Stacey is just patiently waiting to make his debut. And
I am trying to track down a Toronto Rock interview. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes.
We talked about this earlier in the week.
Yeah, we'll have some Toronto Rock stuff, and we'll have some Toronto Argonauts stuff next week, too. So please stay tuned for that.